Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and here's an invitation to join us for a live taping of this program on the topic of subway security, searches, surveillance, and cell phones. It will be Monday night, September 12th at 6:30 p.m. at the CUNY Graduate Center, that's 5th Avenue and 34th Street. Admission is free, and there are no reservations necessary. Seating is first come, first serve, and as specific guests and other details become confirmed, we'll tell you more about it. But in the meantime, save the date and plan on joining us, if you like, for a taping of this program on subway security, searches, surveillance, and cell phones, Monday night, September 12th, 6:30 p.m. at the CUNY Graduate Center, 34th and 5th. You can get more information at Listener Services, 212-669-3333, or on the events page at WNYC.org. Well, it's been a year today since the Republican National Convention was at Madison Square Garden and the unofficial and official protests that went with it. If you recall, some protests, like the massive anti-war rally on 6th Avenue before the convention, went on pretty much without a hitch, while others led to the arrests of over 1,800 people. Most of those arrested were dismissed. Those arrests were dismissed without charge. And a year after the convention, the New York Civil Liberties Union is about to release an in-depth report on how they feel the city handled the protests. So with me now to talk about the report, which will be officially released later today, is one of its authors, Christopher Dunn. He's the Associate Legal Director for the NYCLU. Chris, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, and good morning.
The report both praises and pours scorn on the city's handling of protests during the convention. From what I've seen, is it more criticism or more praise?
Well, I think it's both. And we tried quite genuinely to be balanced and fair about this. And we felt that it was critically important that there be an historical document that recounted what happened a year ago, because it was such an important event, both in terms of New York City and really in terms of protest activity here in the country in the aftermath of 9/11. So it does both. And we recognize that the city did a number of things well, and you pointed out, for instance, a large anti-war march that took place on that Sunday that went past the Garden. But unfortunately, there were some big problems, and it's really unfortunate that the police commissioner has refused to acknowledge any of those problems, which we think makes it all the more important that city officials look seriously at the recommendations that we include in the report, because it's quite clear that Commissioner Kelly doesn't have any interest in changing things as a result of the convention.
Let's talk about one of the incidents that you're critical of. 227 people arrested in a protest near the World Trade Center. I think it was, in fact, on the Tuesday of the Republican convention week. All of those charges were eventually dropped after some video surfaced. We've done a segment, we've played part of the video. We've interviewed Paul Brown, the police spokesman, on this, and I'm going to play a clip from that interview for you in a minute. But remind our listeners what happened here and why are you so critical of how the NYPD handled it?
Well, what happened at that event was a number of people gathered at the near the World Trade Center site for a march that was going to take place ultimately towards Madison Square Garden. And there was a negotiation with the police. There had not been a permit issued for this event. There was a negotiation with the police. The police agreed to allow the march to take place, and it proceeded across Fulton Street on the sidewalk. It had gotten maybe two-thirds down the block along Fulton Street. And then, as the videotape shows, a police chief who was assigned to the march from the Bronx and I think had very little experience with demonstrations stopped the march because he believed the people were crowding the sidewalk unreasonably, and he ordered everyone on the sidewalk arrested, and that resulted in the arrest of 227 people who were doing nothing more than making a good faith effort to follow police instructions and were walking on a city sidewalk as part of a peaceful demonstration. And quite unusually, the district attorney's office, after viewing the videotape which we provided to them, agreed to dismiss all of those cases.
You don't use these words in the summary of the report that we could see, but would you characterize the actions in that instance as preventive detention?
Yes, and I think there actually were other incidents, particularly that day, where there were even greater examples of preventive detention, all of which kind of translated into this very large controversy about how long people were held. And as people may remember, many of the people who were arrested, and there were over 1,800 people arrested that week, were held for a day, 2 days, in some instances 3 days, when virtually all of them had been charged with the most minor of offenses or not even qualify as crimes in New York, parading without a permit or disorderly conduct.
So you think they were just trying to keep large numbers of protesters off the street or people who they thought may have been particularly either dangerous or could give a bad image to the Republican convention or the city's handling of the Republican convention?
Well, we are not accusing the police department of intentionally detaining people to keep them off the street. What we are saying is clear, is the police department made a number of policy choices concerning the way they were going to handle protests that at the very least resulted in people being held for long periods of time. For example, they fingerprinted every single person who they arrested, regardless of how minor the offense. That's not permitted by state law, but what it did was it created a huge bottleneck in terms of the processing of people. Similarly, rather than giving people summonses or what are called desk appearance tickets, by which people get released for minor offenses within a few hours, they arraigned everyone, meaning they presented them in court the next day. Those two decisions guaranteed, given the number of arrests, that people would be held for long periods of time. And whether that was done as a strategy to keep people off the street or not, we don't know, but the effect was clear. People were held in police custody for a day, 2 days, 3 days for having committed the most minor of offenses, according even to the police.
Chris Dunn from the New York Civil Liberties Union, my guest on WNYC as we talk about the report that they put out on NYPD handling of protests during the Republican convention 1 year ago this week. Actually, they're officially releasing the report later today. We'll also talk about critical mass, the bike riders action and protest group and just gathering and how they've come into contact again with the NYPD in recent days. But we put the preventive detention question to police spokesman Paul Brown here on the show last month, and here's what he had to say in response.
That has been the big lie that was started during the conventions, continued afterwards, and absolutely untrue. Number one, all these prosecutions that did not go forward was not because of bad arrests. It was the decision to adjourn in contemplation of dismissal, which has been the practice for years from the beginnings of the civil rights movements in New York.
So Paul Brown, Deputy Commissioner for Public Information, on our show on July 27th. How would you respond to his response, Chris Dunn?
Well, you know, first, he's ignoring the fact that while it is true that a substantial number of the cases were dismissed pursuant to this notion of an adjournment and contemplation of dismissal.
And what is that? Translate that into plain English for our listeners. Adjournment and contemplation of dismissal.
That is a dismissal that is premised upon the person not being rearrested in the ensuing 6 months.
So it's somebody who's done a relatively small thing. They don't think this person is a career criminal, not likely to be causing any trouble or, you know, not worth locking up and spending taxpayer resources on him or her. That's the kind of case where adjournment and contemplation of dismissal would come up?
That's correct. That's correct. But what Paul ignores is that, in fact, a substantial number of the arrests were not disposed that way. They were flat-out dismissed either by the district attorney who decided they could not proceed with the prosecution, or people were actually acquitted. And you mentioned the Fulton Street World Trade Center march. That was almost 250 arrests, all of which were simply dismissed. So I think that's the initial response. But the larger concern is this, that setting aside whatever the specific intentions may have been about the police department, there is no question and there's no dispute that people who are arrested on the most minor of offenses, parading without a permit, disorderly conduct, were held for as long as 3 days. And, you know, the police department can say what it wants about what its intentions were. The fact of the matter is, as a result of the decisions they made, people were in police custody for really unusually long and inexplicable periods of time.
Now, I do want to get to the critical mass, the protest by bike riders. The convention also saw, I think, the first real police crackdown on the monthly critical mass rides. New York cyclists had been converging on city roads monthly for about 12 years with incident, if I got my timeline right. But cops arrested about 250 riders during the convention week. How does the report treat the arrest of cyclists during the convention?
Well, the critical mass arrests, in some respects, during the convention were emblematic of arrests that took place elsewhere. The critical mass ride is an event, as you point out, that has been taking place for years. And not only has it been taking place for years, it was taking place with the full cooperation of the police department. On the Friday night before the convention, the ride went off, and I was there personally, in the same way typically has gone off, namely with a police escort. People had every reason to believe that they were participating in a lawful event, in the same way that people at the World Trade Center march understood they were participating in a lawful event. And then, about an hour and a half after the ride, for reasons we still don't really understand, the police simply lost their patience, and using these nets that they use in a number of locations, closed off entire blocks and arrested entire groups of people. And so it was an example of mass arrest taking place of people who had every reason to believe they were engaged in completely lawful conduct. And indeed, all they were doing is riding on a bike ride through city streets. So while the critical mass controversy has kind of evolved since then and has continued, what happened during the convention provides actually a very apt example of what happened at many events where large arrests took place that week.
Was the convention a turning point for the critical mass events? I mean, there have been over 500 arrests, from what I've read, in the space of just 1 year, 49 detained on the most recent event just last Friday.
Yeah, there's no question that the convention was the turning point. Prior to the convention, there had been a fair amount of if not cooperation, at least accommodation between the police and the critical mass riders. That changed in August of 2004.
Because, in fact, that critical mass protest during the convention or just before the convention had over 5,000 riders. That's a lot more than the typical monthly gathering that was taking place since 1993.
That's absolutely right. That was a uniquely large event. And I can tell you from having been there myself, it was an event that drew an extraordinary cross-section of New Yorkers, everyone from professional cyclists to, you know, families with small children who were being towed in wagons. It was actually a remarkable event, and it is to this day a mystery to me as to why the police department cracked down on that event in the way that it did.
By the way, not everybody is such a big fan of critical mass bike rides and thinks that, they're this bastion of free expression that should be celebrated. Here's an email that we got from a listener just before that says, every time I leave my apartment on 2nd Avenue between 14th Street and St. Mark's on the night of a critical mass rally, I am stymied by critical mass riders that clog the streets and sidewalks. When the critical mass riders get on their bicycles, they not only disrupt automobile traffic, but pedestrian traffic. I'm sure everyone in the audience has had the experience of using a pedestrian walkway as a hotshot bike messenger or Upper West Side exerciser has weaved through the white lines at the end of an avenue block, knocking into pedestrians disregarding the red light. Multiply this experience tenfold when a critical mass rally is taking place. And if that's this listener's experience, then does it become a legitimate law enforcement issue as well?
I don't think there's any question that there's bike behavior that is a legitimate law enforcement issue. Many of us who live in New York have had troubling experiences with cyclists on sidewalks and the like. We are certainly not suggesting that everyone who participates in a critical mass event is engaging in behavior that should be emulated. But, you know, in terms of what critical mass is and the notion of people being able to ride their bikes as a form of protest, that I think is quite well established. And like any other form of protest, needs to be done responsibly.
And so how do you balance the rights? Because this emailer goes on, my enduring memory from the large pre-Republican convention critical mass rally is that of a Sikh cab driver stranded on top of his taxi on 13th Street between 1st and 2nd, losing money by the minute as a bunch of well-dressed NYU kids block the crosswalk on top of $500 mountain bikes.
Well, all I can say on that, Brian, is that people who ride bikes, like anything else, need to be responsible and obey the law. And when they're doing that and they're engaging in protest, we support that. And when they're not doing that, we don't.
We have a couple more minutes with Christopher Dunn from the New York Civil Liberties Union. They're officially releasing their one-year-later report on police activity during the Republican National Convention. 1 year ago this week, officially releasing that report this afternoon. And we should just mention, as we said earlier, and mention it again, that the report also praises the NYPD's handling of events, saying that for the most part, the department performed its duties well during the convention while respecting the right to free speech, despite the particular problems that we've been focusing on in this conversation. Were you surprised at how much did go well from the NYCLU's perspective?
Well, no, I was not surprised. I mean, we deal with the police department all the time around protest issues, and despite the fact that we often sue them and have many conflicts with them, in most instances where we find that the police department is cooperative and is willing to accommodate protest. And I can tell you we had innumerable meetings leading up to the convention, negotiating many details of convention events, and in many respects the department, you know, was very responsive and responsible, and we acknowledge that and we recognize it. Having said that, you know, there were problems, and we hope through this report that, you know, while on the one hand recognizing what the department did well and trying to build on that, that there will be some acknowledgement by Commissioner Kelly and others that there are areas that do need to be addressed. In New York City, we regularly have huge demonstrations. You know, we're not likely to have a Republican National Convention again anytime soon, but we almost surely will be having large demonstrations in the near future. And these are the sorts of issues that arise at all large demonstrations.
Well, as we saw Friday night, critical mass is certainly not about to stop doing what they do. I should mention that we invited the NYPD to provide a guest for this discussion, but they declined, saying they hadn't seen your report yet. So I want to thank Christopher Dunn, Associate Legal Director for the New York Civil Liberties Union, and that report on the NYPD in Convention Week will officially be released at about 1 o'clock. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Nola McGovern produced this program with Ilya Meritz, Jim Colgan, and Priya George. We had help today from Maria Galvez, and that's Rob Christensen at the audio controls. Music provided by Soul Live. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.